If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our penultimate Love Island recap for summer 2020. I am your host, Kirsten McInnes, and I'm joined, as always, by the wonderful Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
I am good. Excited to get in here, gearing up for the finale already. As you saw on Twitter, my time is all out of sorts, so it really crept up on me. I don't know what day of the week it is anymore, but I know it's in 2 days. So very excited to get in here and discuss these final four couples we're down to now.
Yeah, so just for the listeners who maybe aren't constantly stalking our Twitters, which if you're not, I don't know what you're doing. Someone asked us today when voting will open for the winners of the season. And Scally said, I think it'll open on like Thursday or Friday. And I said, Scally, the finale's Wednesday.
Yeah, today felt like a Thursday. It I don't does. Know why.
You're right.
And I just went with it.
Well, so as far as everybody knows, September 28th was a Thursday. And if you hear something different, you didn't hear that. I'm very, very excited because we have yet another all-star guest for our lineup this year. We have Grace Leader with us, brand new host of the It's a Hold Up podcast.
Hold Up. Yeah, the Hold Up podcast.
Hell yeah. So the host of the brand new Hold Up podcast, which you can get on Anchor and Spotify and all the places with podcasts. Grace, how's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be like the opposite of Ariel, where like you're actually excited to see me when I show up. So I'm excited. The finale has definitely snuck up on me, but what a ride it's been. I'm so excited to talk about these last few episodes. There was a lot in these two episodes.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we found when we were trying to cover three episodes at a time, is it was just simply too much. And then now that we're covering two at a time, I feel like there's still quite a bit, but I think it's like a more manageable for sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially as this is winding down, a little, you know, bite-sized piece rather than what we had was a full meal at all times, like, when it was quite a bit.
Like we recorded,
you were
like
fed.
4 hours of Casa More in one podcast. What?
Hey, all three episodes are 2 hours. Surprise!
kind of like Maura and Calvin. You just had to find your rhythm. You know, it took you a while, but you've got here. You're here.
Exactly.
We're there now. We know what we would do for future seasons. It's great. Grace, how have you been feeling about this season so far?
It's been fun. I jumped into Love Island with the first US season. I have not done my deep dive into the UK version, which I will do probably once Big Brother and Love Island are over. I'll do some deep diving into the UK version because I hear nothing but good things. But this has been fun. There's a good cast of characters here. I guess, I mean, they're not characters. They're real people. But there's been a lot of drama, a lot of emotion. We've had some fun couples. It's been a good ride so far.
Incredible. Yeah, I can't wait to hear your thoughts when you finally watch UK seasons, because you're going to be like, wait, what? There's this whole other world?
I thought you were going to say you can't wait till Big Brother is over.
Well, that goes without saying. Well, and Scally, you would say that this season like is up there with UK seasons, right? Like, I feel like it's in the same league at least.
Yeah, 100%. I've said, I think in, you know, one of our chats with a friend, where I have like four seasons of Love Island UK that I consider like great, great seasons of television. And this fully fits in with those four. So I would highly recommend this to anyone. Feel fully comfortable. It's not something that I would be like, skip around. Like, no, this is a great season of Love Island. I'm very happy with it.
Hell yeah. Okay. Well, I just need to finish the UK one so that I can come up with my rankings as well. So
love ranking.
I hate ranking so much. You know that. It's just so arbitrary and reductive, you know?
I've heard that.
Okay, so I guess we should jump into the Sunday episode. So it started with the J-Lib hideaway, and we didn't really get to see like their night before that much, but we see them waking up. It's like a peaceful wake up, no pots and pans. They're having like just a really sweet time. I just love them. Grace, how do you feel about J-Lib?
They're the best, right? Like, I mean, this is what I was going to kind of ask about the UK season. Is like, is it always that like there's just like one clear front runner? I'm assuming that's not always the case. Here, this just like feels like it. I think maybe we're getting some, you know, some tension about Johnny and Sally, because I feel like they kind of thought they were the front runners with like, you know, Johnny's boyfriend proposal type thing. And you know, maybe they felt like Justine and Caleb weren't quite there. But I mean, they're the clear favorites. They're so fun. There's like this little scene where they're like dancing. Like, I just love them. And yeah, it's nice that they got not one, but two hideaways. So.
Yeah, I would say about the UK, to touch on that quick, I don't think that occasionally there's the runaway couple, but the nice thing about watching it on a binge is that you don't have like the audience reaction available to you so immediately. So you're really, you know, forming your own opinions and getting it in that way. But here where we're watching this, we know that like Justine and Caleb are the overwhelming fan favorites, at least in my circle, but you know, fingers crossed that holds true on the wider audience. And like you said, we don't get to see like a lot that night. Like, good. Justine and Caleb deserve their privacy. I want them to not be worried about Justine's parents seeing whatever's happening in the hideaway. So, you know, I like where she says like Caleb made her proud, but like also made their parents proud. Like, keep them private.
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet when she's like, he made me proud and our parents.
Yeah, bring your parents into the hideaway discussion. Maybe not the best.
They're so cute. Like, Sally was like so convinced that they like did a lot more than I think they did. And but Moira was, and this is just to me a bit like sums up Moira perfectly. She's like, well, I'm pretty sure they definitely made out. It's like, Moira, yeah, of course they made out. Like, what do you think the hideaway is for?
Like, they've been making out not in the hideaway all summer long. Obviously they made out, Moira. Like, thanks for nothing.
Well, I love
definitely made out.
How she like phrases it is they're like, do you think they like had sex? And she's like, yes, definitely. Like, they at least made out. Like, those are not the same thing, Moira. Like, your levels of intimacy may have gotten a little confused in this villa.
I want
what does Moira think is first base? Like,
yes, that's what I was just gonna ask. What does she think all of the bases are?
Hey, well, they say they like to seal it with a handshake, so that's at least that.
I would say I thought a handshake was home run for her.
So it was James and Moira were shaking hands in bed, and that's what they were doing early on.
A firm handshake is very important, okay? We also, okay, we get like a little scene of Bennett and Lakin, I guess, to make us remember that they're people in the villa. And they had like a little kiss, and they seem happy and cute. I actually was really surprised by this because I just thought they would be nothing, and they're like marginally more than that.
Yeah, they're fine. Like, I'm enjoying them. You got to set them up for, they're gonna have a family visit too, so you have to make you feel something when that happens. If they had started here earlier, might have gotten invested, but where they're at right now, like, they're just cute scenes that are like, you know, cotton candy on top of the rest of the, you know, treats that we're getting.
Yeah, I feel bad. Like, the timing of them coming into the villa is just terrible for them. Because, yeah, there's, like, this is, like, something I would sort of like in the early episodes, and you could maybe, hopefully, they would build on it. But, like, you know, Bennett has this line where he's just like, yeah, I was just so nervous if I would be good at kissing again. Like, who is it? Like, riding a bike? I don't know, man. Like, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be okay. But, yeah, so kind of cute. He talks about having butterflies in his stomach. So, and there's something there, but just compared to what else we've got for everybody else, it's just not enough.
Exactly. Okay. And then we get the family visits. And before we jump into these visits, we simply must talk about how awkward the setup was. So there's like a screen, and then the people talking to their family are sitting like, I don't know, 50 feet away from the screen. And then there's a second screen that they could see their like significant other's family on. And like, I'm assuming that the family members were all on a Zoom call and we're just seeing only like the specific windows at a time, but it just looked so weird. And we were given no explanation how like the separate families could see each other. And I was like, the screens are next to each other and you've You've given us no context here.
I think they had to have been in breakout rooms. Like, all right, everyone's 100%. In one main call. Yeah. We're putting them into breakout rooms. At first, I thought that their audio was just being blasted for the entire villa. Mm-hmm. And where it was like, oh, like, we said he's proud of you. I was like, he knows. He's been sitting 20 feet away.
Well, but that's what I thought, too. And it was like, we'll just give you some alone time. It's like, can't everyone in the villa hear their alone time?
Exactly. I thought. Upon further inspection, looked like they may have had earpieces in. Yeah. So that makes a lot more sense. But I like these family visits, even if they were set up awkwardly. I think that we probably would have gotten like more impactful ones had they been able to be there in person. But for what they were able to do, I thought that they went pretty well.
One, like, nobody's connection dropped. Nobody was too close to the camera. Like, they did a good job, I thought.
Caleb's dad, I think, was close to having some... Was it Caleb's dad? Someone's dad was close to having some internet issues. But for the most part, they got through. I think they literally just relied on everybody's own internet. So, I mean, kudos to them that it's everything held up.
Yeah, they really did that. So the first visit we get is Moira and Calvin. So Moira's mom and sister, like, pop up on the screens first. And she, like, says she's going to cry. And they ask if they can meet Calvin. Once they're talking to Calvin, it's like, oh, when can we meet your family? It's like, you know, producer was typing, like, now ask to meet his family. And they feed them in. And Calvin's dad and sister are there. And they're just saying, like, hell yeah, we always knew that it was going to be you for our son. And it's like, I feel like this was supposed to be heartwarming, but I feel like I didn't get much out of this family call. What about you, Scally?
Yeah, definitely. Like, even with Bennett and Lakin being the newest, I feel like we probably got the least from Moira and Calvin, surprisingly. And I know I've been pushing back on you saying that I love Calvin. I think I'm ready to say I do like him. It wasn't this visit in particular that, you know, changed things for me, but I like Calvin. Moira's fine, but really, like, what was there for them to do here?
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like Calvin had some good moments in this episode, as much as I hate to admit it.
Listen, I'm going to come out with a hot take. I've been a Calvin stan since the beginning. Look at my Twitter. I'm a Calvin stan. I like Calvin. Yeah, I like him. I mean, him and Moira are not like my favorite couple, but like, I like Calvin, and, you know, whatever, they have an interesting relationship, but I'm a fan of Calvin. I'll admit it. Check out his Instagram and then come find me again.
Okay, I'm going to look at it actually right now.
And his name is Calvin Cobb.
Going to say is, like, if you're, yeah, I don't love Calvin and Moira together. I don't really believe it. But to a certain point, like, any one of them would be doing the same thing that Calvin and Moira are doing. If there's close to the finale, you want to get there. And so with Calvin, like, outside and not having to fake a relationship, I feel like I would like Calvin a whole lot. He's probably in, like, top four out of people that are left here of who I enjoy personally. So I like Calvin.
I'm looking at Calvin's Instagram right now, and I'm sorry, Grace. I just don't see
not for
it.
You.
No.
All right. Well, that's fine. There's more, you know, more Calvin for me. That's fine.
Yeah, and honestly, whatever makes you happy. So then we also get Bennett and Lakin, and again, there's not really much opportunity to get a lot from this conversation, but everyone's like, oh, like, be nice to each other. They all are, like, being cute. Their parents are like, we love you. Bennett's parents are, like, the sweetest, I thought.
Yeah, I did. I really liked Bennett's parents. I thought they were super sweet. Eyes did water with Lakin's brother. I really like where they're like, blow her a kiss. And, like, yeah. I saw, like, we heard about him, you know, in the last batch of episodes, I believe. So I really did like getting to meet him here before we get to say goodbye to Lakin in the next episode. So, like I said, even though they haven't been here this long, I feel like we got a little more here than Calvin and Moira.
That was a nice moment. I'm pretty sure Lakin, when she sees her parents on the screen, I'm pretty sure she goes, that's Jen. So does Lakin call her mom by her first name is the question I would like to ask.
It's possible.
Ooh, maybe.
Anyway.
That could be a thing. Okay. So then we kind of get into, like, the meat of the family visits. And we first jump in with Carrington and Laurel. Laurel's parents pop up. They're like, don't cry. If you cry, we'll cry. They talk about how Carrington has made them all emotional. They ask if she has feelings for him. They really like dig into how she felt when he was going for Lakin. And when they meet Carrington, they do kind of give him a little bit of crap for that. Carrington's parents, I think, were my like some of my favorite parents as well. And I was surprised by that.
They can't all be our favorite parents, but I do really like a lot of them. I feel like Laurel's mom was like on the verge of hysterically crying the entire time she was speaking. And like, it was endearing. I feel like, again, Carrington, I get that him and like it's late in the game, but him and Laurel have not been together that long. So I don't think it was super unreasonable for him to want to get to know someone else. But I also get the parents, you know, after having watched her, you know, struggle with that for the week, as far as it like being blown up as a storyline on the show, I think it's like a little odd, but I can understand the people like in it having emotions about it. Good family visit. Still not my favorite, but I like them.
Well, okay, I liked how Carrington's own parents gave him a bit of a hard time. And they were like, he was like, I'm becoming a softie. And they're like, good, you need to soften up. Like, you need to let people in. I just thought that they were really sweet. Although I really wish since they were divorced, they had been wearing a mask for that time together.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know any of these people's living situations and or what the testing was like on the family members before hanging out. But
and like more so it's not to be like, oh, shame. Just like it sets a good example for people watching. And like, I think that that's really important right now.
That's super fair. They haven't done the like Big Brother will do that. The evicted house guests wear masks on stage. And I know some other shows I believe have incorporated Love Island. I don't feel like has ripped that Band-Aid off. And so maybe they're trying to avoid that, but I feel like it's kind of like make it happen, guys.
Yeah, they definitely should. I mean, maybe they're worried about like the connection issue and like not being able to hear, but they definitely should have been wearing it. Laurel's dad had a killer line when Carrington came over and he's like, well, you probably know I'm Carrington. He's like, yeah, for this week, we know exactly who you are. Which that was such a good line. And I totally doubted that Carrington was good at, he talked about, I'm not worried about talking to parents. I'm great at talking to parents. And I actually felt like he was pretty good at talking to like Laurel's parents, but I'll give Carrington the win there. But yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, especially for this to be the first person that Laurel is introducing to her parents. Not quite bringing them home is the same as meeting them on a giant Zoom call, but definitely was a, you know, interesting first bring home for Laurel.
She will never forget this.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so then we came to, which was like my favorite overall parent conversation, which was the Justine and Caleb meetup. Justine's mom and sister popped up. They're singing to her that Justine is shining. They call her Queen Justine. They're like just gushing about how great Caleb is. And her mom was very clear, like, we are behind you. We're proud of you. Like, you've done a good job. Like, I know you've been worried about that. And like Caleb's family comes in. Like, it was just like so sweet.
Mm-hmm. There's so much here to discuss. Like with Justine, like even before they ultimately get to speak to their families, Justine and Caleb are talking. And then like Caleb talks to Johnny. Justine's talking to Sally about like Justine has been nervous. We've seen it the entire season. So for her mom to like come in and immediately be like, you have nothing to worry about. We're so proud of you. We're behind every decision. Like, that was awesome. And then Caleb saying like, oh, if like Justine is this nervous, like maybe I should be a little more nervous about meeting her parents. So this was like meat and potatoes. This was the one I want to see. I think this is the one everyone was like waiting to see. And it, like, you know, as far as we are right now with Justine's conversation with her family, like, was so good. Love seeing them pop up and singing. It was like good to see more of like, she's talked about her family being from the Congo, and like you get to see her, you finally then see her family's like really cool. So definitely been the best one so far.
When her mom dressed up because she was like, Caleb called you a queen. And so I had to dress up to like add up. Like it was just so sweet. Yeah, so and cute. Do you love Justine's parents as much as we do, Grace?
Oh, I love that. That was the best. That was my favorite moment. I mean, there was Justine's family, but then also like Caleb's parents coming on. But then Caleb's sisters is what like kind of got me to. It was like, oh, it's so cute. They're both like, you can tell they're huge family people. Yeah, it was just so adorable. The whole thing just, it was so cute.
And then when Caleb is talking to his family after Justine has left, and they're like, is Justine the one? And he's like, she could be. It was just so sweet. Like, she has all the qualities he wants in a wife. I literally was so close to crying on this. And I'm shocked only that I didn't.
So close. I cried. As soon as Caleb's parents popped up, like he's crying, and then I was like, don't make me cry. But then you get like for Justine, where especially where she had spoken about how like she never felt like she was someone's first choice earlier in the season, and then Caleb's family comes in like, no, you've been our first choice all along, like we knew, like you're the girl for Caleb. So like that was really cool. Caleb gets to see his sisters. Caleb dad talks about like, is Justine the one, and how he's like so proud of him for being a role model and just like exemplifying like how men should treat their queen and stuff like that. Like I was so happy with this family, happy with the family visit, like overall just like 10 out of 10, super excited.
And then as well, Justine's family tells her that Caleb reminds them of her dad, and most people would probably not love to hear that their significant other is like their father, but in this case it's a compliment. And it's just like, oh, they're so sweet. I just love them.
Is it right after this that they also have the conversation? Justine tells Caleb that, and then Caleb's talking about just how like people like them, like, you know, don't often get to experience privilege like this. Like that was a really powerful moment, I think, as well. And just like something we don't see on a lot of TV, reality TV. So just, they are just the best. And it's already, we just wrap it up. They've won Wednesday night. They're going to be crowned the winner. They're the best.
Give them the money. Double the prize. Like,
yeah.
Down for it.
I think that's what we need to do. I was agree. Really upset also that they didn't show this visit last, because I feel like it would have put a really good like cap on the family visits. But of course, they're shoving Johnny and Sally down our throats.
See, I disagree. I like this order. No. I like getting like the example, and then like you can see like a little we'll get there when we get there. But like Grace said, I really liked the conversation afterwards, where like Caleb is like on Justine's shoulder crying like about how excited he was to be told that like he's a role model, where he says that, and like we had highlighted where Rachel and Justine had a conversation about race on the Saturday episode, and we said, why is this on the Saturday episode, not a main episode? I know they don't have any more Saturday episodes left, but I'm super happy that this made the main episode, and we actually got a conversation talking about how, like, you know, Grace said that Caleb said that a lot of people of color, specifically he says specifically Black people, don't get to experience privilege like this, and he's just like so thankful for their experience, and like, you know, again, best family visit.
I just love them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we get Johnny and Sally, and Johnny is super nervous about meeting Sally's family. There is, you know, he's very nervous about Casa Amor coming up. He thinks it's going to be a tough conversation, which like, yeah, duh. And so Sully's mom, brother, and sister pop up, and they are, you could tell that they are Sully's family, the way that they are shouting. They're getting her to twerk if you can hear us.
Yeah, twerk if you can hear us. What?
Just like the energy, coming from them is like, you could tell like where Sully gets her kind of spark from.
Yeah, surprised they didn't have pots and pans,
That's how I'm going to start every podcast from now on, is asking people to twerk if they can hear
me.
Twerk if you can hear me. And then we get like emotional Sully because she's super, super close with her mom, as we've kind of gotten the impression of throughout the last few episodes, at least. They're all talking, and Sully's mom pretty much asks right away, like, how do you feel after Casa Amor? Sully's like, you know, you raised me to know humans as, you know, people who make mistakes, and that's what I'm trying to do. Her mom's really proud of her. Was there anything that we want to cue up from like the just Sully part of the conversation?
Her outfit. Did you notice that she was wearing a cow print bathing suit with like these like see-through like cowboy pants that had like fringe on the side? Like, oh my god, like if I wore that, I would literally look like I was, you know, as a farm animal. She looks amazing, and it's like the most ridiculous outfit I've ever seen in my life. How does she do it? Oh my gosh, I can't, I'm speechless.
Don't think you would look like a farm animal.
Well, I'm being self-deprecating, but I can't believe, like, she looks so good. And I'm like, you're wearing cow print and like these like cowboy pants. It's amazing.
A great point. Not the point that I was going to bring up myself.
Sorry.
Well, no, that's good, because now you have different points to make.
Exactly. I'm thrilled that you did not steal my point. No, kidding. But I was going to say, like, I like where you can even tell right away where Sally's like, are you guys like happy for me? And Sally's sister like pauses like, yes. And it's like, are you debating?
Well, like,
poor internet connection.
Yeah. They were buffering. It's fine. But it's that kind of situation where we've all known people who are in relationships with someone that we don't necessarily like or think is good enough for our friend. And at the end of the day, nothing you say is going to change anything. So you just kind of have to be there for them and support them. Even if you'd rather be like, this person is trash, the way they treated you is not okay, I hate them, you dump them immediately. Like, that's just not what you can do in this situation.
I mean, it's sort of like when you're like, someone like is like, I think I'm gonna break up with them, and like, yeah, they're terrible. And like, actually, we're gonna stay together. And it's like, oh yeah, like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, they're not quite sure how to, like, they want to be supportive, but also they certainly have their hesitations about Johnny, I think.
Yeah, and add $100,000 to the equation. So definitely a factor. Like, knowing that Sally had that earpiece, like, maybe like, Sally, like, steal the money. You have to steal the money. Like, that would have been the message to get in there. But, you know, as soon as you know she has the earpiece, I think that's the move.
That's, they were saying twerk if you can hear us. That was the secret message that said steal the money. So then they ask to meet Johnny. So Johnny comes in. He's like, wants to meet them and talk to them, I guess, about what he loves about Sally. But they are bringing up kind of the Casa Amor stuff. Her brother is like, I'm going to have a talk with you, like, as a brother. Which was extremely awkward. Yeah.
Future. Whatever. Like,
And then Johnny's mom and dad come in, and his dad's like, I have been watching you every night. Like, his parents are more so like, yeah, people make mistakes. When I was young, I would do the same thing. But like, it's good that you're taking responsibility for this. But basically, the whole conversation is dominated by the Casa Amor situation, even when Sully's family leaves and it's just Johnny with his parents. And yeah, good. Johnny is pissed. Johnny is like, this is just such a small part of who we are. Like, I'm so much more than that. It just sucks that this keeps getting brought up. And I'm like, yeah, well, it sucks that you did it. And now you have to deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah, there's a couple things here where parents did not sign up on to be on the show, I would, we were joking, like, could my hypothetical child do that I would not defend them over? And like, this is well within those bounds, but like, you get Caleb's dad being like, you're an amazing role model, like everything you're doing, like, I love this, whatever. And then you get like, oh, like, this is a different situation, this would never happen on the outside, or like, oh, I would have done exactly that, like, whatever. So like,
what was that? I would have done the exact same thing when I was a kid. Like, what? I don't know.
Johnny's mom's like head whips around.
Yeah, she's like, excuse me, sir. You would do what?
Not the best, but yeah, that's why I kind of liked having the Justine and Caleb one first. But like we said, like, it's their kid, what are you gonna say, especially on TV? So maybe he'll talk. But for Johnny to be so annoyed that like, we didn't even have to talk about anything else, like, what'd you think was going to happen? Sally has it like in perspective where like they've talked about it, but you know, the world as a whole, let alone their families, have not gotten the chance to talk to them about it. So of course people are going to want to. And so like, I get the argument that like, oh, like, we're so much more than that, but like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of the biggest part of your story currently, guys.
And I mean, I think the thing that people who are like watching the show are the most upset about is that Johnny really like still and sort of continues when they were doing the sucker punch challenge and they were like, Sally doesn't even know the whole story. And Johnny's like, nope, I said everything. And all the boys kind of backed her up. But I feel like people feel like he hasn't been totally truthful to Sally. And maybe we just haven't seen all the conversations that they've had about it. But as far as I think the viewing audience sort of is to know that he sort of didn't say everything that happened. And so, I mean, I guess I kind of came up with like the under the covers thing or whatever. But like, I feel like that's maybe why the parents are bringing it up too, is like, I guess they can't say like, you don't know everything, or they don't want to say you don't know everything, but like, that's sort of the impression that's happening in the show, is that Johnny still hasn't really totally come clean with everything. But
yeah, and if Johnny came back and like, look, I get at the recoupling, you're not gonna like break down and be like, here's everything that happened, but like in that first, second, like third conversation, for it not to be like, here's exactly what happened, like, let's get it all out there. If they want to move forward past that, like, awesome, like, you guys can all make your decisions, that is totally cool. Sally knows everything and is moving past it, I have no problem here. But it still doesn't feel like she like knows everything. It still feels like Johnny is more mad about people talking about it than the fact that like it actually happened. So it's still in that gray area for me where I'm not 100% thrilled, as much as I love Sally.
Yeah, love Sally. Johnny is still on the outs with me, and that's not on period, okay? So then to kind of round out the episode, we have just a couple of little couple talking conversation. I guess conversation is what that would be called, but words are hard. All right, so Bennett and Lakin chat, and Bennett says that Lakin is the perfect mixture of things he looks for in relationships. Doesn't share any of those things. I thought that was very weird.
Yeah, I mean, you can't devote too much screen time to the obvious fifth place couple. Like, yeah, get like, their little quick check-in and get them
like,
out of here.
You're a mixture of things I like. Like, at the very least, be like, you're beautiful and funny, and I love those things. Like, you have to say something. You can't just be
and
like...
He very well may have, but the thing is, we saw... 15 seconds at the most of this conversation.
No, I don't think he said, and it was weird.
We just are never getting anything. Like, we don't see any of their conversation. Like, at least with like Lakin and Carrington, when there's a thing, it was like they're talking about their family and like, you know, some of the other stuff that they're interested in. With Bennett and Lakin, it's like there's nothing. We're getting nothing. There's no conversation. It's just like, yeah, I like you. Yeah,
I think they're kind of cute.
I would have enjoyed some if they had been here earlier. Yeah. I like them individually. I think maybe there's something there, but the fact that it's so short term, like, these couples never ever, unless like the last couple people, you know, couple up with a very massively popular single person that's been in the villa for a very long time, you can't couple up with someone else who's new. You're going home. We're not seeing you.
I mean, okay, fine.
It's better than going home after night one of you being there, but it's not a winning formula.
Okay. Well, we got even less from Carrington and Laurel, I think. Like, it was just like a nothing check in with them.
I would say less new content. Like, it was a little of rehashing of the family stuff. You know, Carrington saying that he actually wants to become a better guy because of Laurel, but nothing really new here.
Yeah, I do. Go ahead.
No, I think this was early. Well, you keep going, because I was gonna talk about Calvin and Moira again, but if you want to keep talking about Laurel and Carrington.
Yeah, I'm dying to talk about Laurel and Carrington, Grace. You caught me.
Okay, so I think this happens earlier in the episode and we jumped over it, but Calvin and Moira are talking about their conversation with their parents, and Moira says, that makes my heart sore. And does she mean like her heart is like flying, or like her heart like hurts? Because if that's the case, she should get that checked out. Like, that's not, I don't think that's like, even, yeah, she's like, that makes my heart sore. Like, are you okay? Like,
I think she meant like fly, but it's very funny to think of it the other way.
Moira, we're gonna need a spelling on that, please, for the subtitles.
Yeah, production is like, Moira, do you need medical? How is your heart?
The team runs in, breaking quarantine.
They have like the paddles and everything. They're ready to defibrillate.
Yeah, her heart is just so sore.
Her heart is sore. Oh no. We also got Caleb and Justine being cute again. Caleb's talking about how he ugly cried, and Justine's like, no, it wasn't ugly, it was cute, which I melted personally. I thought that was so sweet. And they talk about their families meeting in person. Justine's like, we should have a big, like, where our families all come together. And Caleb's like, that's called a wedding.
I melted. it's just like overwhelming winter content. Very happy about it. This is one where, like, I'm okay with seeing it coming from a mile away. Again, fingers crossed, because I just don't necessarily always trust the voting audience on most shows, but it's, you know, even Love Island, I am a little nervous, but it's just like, after seeing this, how could you not?
Yeah, there's just no one out, like, there's no one even close, I think, to, like, second place. Like, I think, like, Johnny and Sally, there's just been too much turmoil, even at the end. That's not really, you know, we'll get to it next episode, but, like, Justine and Sally's conversation, to me, I was worried, like, last night when they were the last couple to get the family visit, that I thought it was going to be, like, sort of, they kind of glossed over everything, and everything is, like, totally fine, to try and sort of give them that push to maybe, like, they would win, but I just don't see anybody coming close to Justine and Sally. That's what I want.
Also them.
Yes. Yeah. Can they just win the prize money? That'd be
We've great. Asked yeah. it many times, and yeah. we're not getting answers. So come on, CBS. Tell us the truth.
$100,000 each. They deserve it.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, just like get rid of the Big Brother prize money and give it to these people. Like add the $100,000 Love Island prize to the Big Brother prize. Each get $200,000. It's fine.
Dr. Will in here. Give away some prizes.
Yeah. Where's Dr. Will to host the finale? That would be incredible. Okay. And then they end the episode with Johnny and Sally. Johnny is mad because his character is being judged. And it's like, well, your character doesn't get judged if you don't exhibit a bad character.
They're judging me for my actions. Aww.
Right? Like, that's the thing that just makes me so mad, is he is getting so upset about this being talked about and that he's getting judged. And it's like, yeah, well, you did this. And that's the consequence of your actions. When you
go to a party and I spill wine on the carpet, I'm like, everyone's talking about how I spilled wine on the carpet. Like, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, come on. Like, I hit someone with my car. Like, he keeps talking about how I hit him with my car. Like, come on. This is so annoying.
It's like, why is everybody talking about when I hit that guy with my car? Like, there's so much more to me.
That's just a tiny little bit of my life.
It's just part of who I am.
But not the whole me.
It's like when I was talking a few episodes back about that serial killer who was like, I was a stand-up citizen for every day of my life except for two. That's how Johnny is right now. He's like, oh, why are they talking about the 2 days? The rest of my life, Johnny, I'm such a good guy.
He maintains it was one day. It was only one, according to Johnny. Not even two.
Well, he doesn't count nights. That's where you get it.
This is going to be a deep poll, but has anybody seen the Steve Martin movie, The Jerk? There's a scene where he's like leaving this house and he's like He's being kicked out of his house. He's like, okay, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to take this chair. That's it, the chair. And he like sees nothing. I'm just going to take the chair and this like paddle game. And that's it. I'm just going to chair and the paddle game. I'm just going to, and he just keeps adding things as he's leaving. I feel like Johnny's story, it was just like one like flirt. Like we just flirted. Like we just flirted and then we kissed. Like we just flirted and then we kissed and we made out. And then, but that's it. But then we flirted and we kissed and we made out. And then I pulled the covers over us. Like it just like keeps getting worse.
Yeah. What are you going to do? This is unfortunately the storyline that they are now, you know, that is the storyline of Johnny and Sally for the season, whether they want to, like they want it or not. They were like the fun couple early on who was getting, you know, along so well together. And while they're really trying to get back to that, like it just, unfortunately for them, like that's their story this season.
Well, and it could have easily been avoided had Johnny not, but he did. So. It's fine. And he gets really mad. He like literally has to leave and walk away for a minute, which I'm just like, oh my God, like enough. I've had enough of his little tantrums.
I read that as more like a, let me show you how upset I am right now than mad. But I was like, not fully. I feel like he does that like a fair amount of getting up and, you know, removing himself and then coming back.
Well, I don't like it. anyways, then it comes to the Monday episode, the baby episode. and so the episode starts and there's like two very different conversations. The first is Sally and Justine, and Justine is worried that sometimes Johnny is a little bit selfish and puts himself ahead of Sally. And it seems like Sally is worried that because of the whole situation, people are going to just think that she's weak because she is letting someone run all over her. Which I don't think is, I don't think people think Sally is weak. I think people just think Johnny is shitty, but.
It's not that she's weak. She's just doesn't have the full story.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Yeah. So.
And like, even if she had, and if she had the full story and chose to stay again, that's not weak. That's just mm-hmm. her making a decision. Like the problem again, as we said, is that she doesn't have all the information.
Exactly. And that is the that's the whole point of this, is if Sally was choosing to stay, having all of the information, awesome. But even if it's told, like it's hard without seeing, like, I don't know. So I don't know what like this they're going to look like until they're actually out of the villa. And, you know, give them 2 weeks. Then I feel like we'll have a better idea of what we're in for with them. But I completely understand where Justine's coming from while inside of the villa, like making sure, like just checking in on you. I think that that's totally reasonable.
I you know, I think it's interesting. Like, yeah, we talk about that. Sally is like, you know, doesn't have all the information and maybe is not seeing things, like not seeing the full picture. But I don't think Justine has the full picture either. And yet she's still coming to Sally being like, girl, there are some like the flags are red. Like just so you know. And like, but then I also, yeah, I do like, you know, I kind of love this segment because it was like Justine being like, hey, as a friend, I'm just going to like, I want to see how you're feeling. And then Sally being like, well, you know, I feel like people are like thinking I am not making my own decisions. And I think that that's totally valid and fair, too, that she's like, no, I'm going to make the decision that's best for me. And I want to be with Johnny. So a really interesting conversation, I thought.
We love the girl talk.
Mm-hmm. And well handled by Justine, where like you check in. You have that conversation if you're genuinely worried. And then once they tell you how they feel, they gave you your answer. You mm-hmm. can't tell them how to feel. So Sally is capable of making her own decisions. You'll check in again later if you really need to.
Yeah, 100%. And then in a very different tone was the Calvin and Moira conversation. They have a mission. Should you choose to accept it? And that mission is to sleep outside. They are going to grab pillows, they're going to grab blankets, they're going to wear all black so that they can sneak out in the night. And they, I guess, have always talked about sleeping under the stars. And tonight's the night they're going to make it happen. And I hate to admit it, I thought this was very cute.
Yeah, I like this. I liked Calvin and Moira in it. I like the concept of sleeping outside, both ideologically and when it goes well in practice. But I...
Is that what Mackenzie was doing a few years ago? It was just mission SOS, sleep outside, when she stormed out of the room.
Jalen did
it
not...
It was an SOS for her.
It was an SOS.
Yeah, I was going to say Jalen didn't catch the plan, but I like
better. So yeah, they go out, they make a full bed on one of the day beds. It was very cute. I liked even like when they were confirming the mission, when they do their little secret handshake and then a kiss. She's like, shall we seal it with a handshake? Like, I guess that's just how she talks. And then before they ran out of the bedroom, Calvin like bites her ear and is like being very affectionate with her. It was sweet. And I hate to admit it, but it was sweet.
It was, you've had your issues with Calvin. I've had my issues with Moira. I feel like we're, starting to come around. They're positively affecting my ranking of the final four couples in terms of where I'd like to see them end up. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I liked it, and I'm not afraid to admit it. So,
well, you're a Calvin stan.
So. Yeah, I know.
So then they wake up the next morning to the babies. They have the robot babies. They're at the foot of everybody's bed. They're robots. They're dolls. Doll robots.
Like voice mechanical.
I don't know. Would you not call it a robot? I would call them robots.
I would call them like toys or
robots. But
I don't know.
You're just laughing straight in my face. It's actually really rude.
It's not that rude. Calm down.
It's not that rude. Well, it's still rude. And I thought it was really funny that they put all of the babies just in the bedroom. I thought they were going to put one at the foot of the daybed, and that would have been really funny, but they did not. They left that baby alone inside, and Sully had to go get Calvin and Moira to come take care of their child.
Yeah, that was funny. The babies were crying as much as I was on the Justine and Caleb family visit. I always have like mixed feelings. I know a lot of people either love or despise the baby episode. I'm somewhere in the middle. I feel like this was not the best one, but I enjoyed it just fine.
I like it. I think it's cute.
Yeah, I think it like shows you a fair bit about that. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's cute. I like it.
Yeah, it's very sweet. So Justine and Caleb get twins, which they were very funny about it. They have a confessional where they're like, I've always wanted twins. Oh, I've always wanted twins. And then Caleb's like, after this, we could have twins, triplets, quadruplets. And Justine's like, and where are they coming out of? Like, it was very, it was very cute.
Hold up.
Like, Caleb kind of turns and gives like the eyebrows too. It's like, it's so cute. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I like that, like, they specifically were chosen to get twins because I feel like that means they know that they're our favorites, but I feel like that also probably tips off the villagers. Like, one of these things is not like the other, probably going to the favorite couple.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there any reason why they got twins? Are we just wondering why production gave them that's it? We just think
it was just for the lols.
Yeah.
I think it was a fun setup. I'm fine with that happening, randomly to one or two couples on a season.
Yes, and they name them Kiki and Coco. Kiki is which sister is which? I can't remember.
I just know it's after the.
It's one each of them has a sister. Yeah. And those are their sisters' nicknames. I can't remember which is which because I'm not a professional. That's cute. So then we get Lakin and Bennett. They get a baby. Lakin says in confessional that she was a nanny and she got fired from that job. She is bad with children.
Not encouraging for this task.
Not encouraging just in general.
Hey, people, she doesn't have to have kids if she doesn't want to.
Oh, that's I feel like the whole time she wanted to be like, I'm never having children. But she was worried about like there is a perception of like a young woman who says that they don't want children. Like even me. I don't want kids. And people are like, you'll change your mind. Like, no. And if I did, it's none of your business. But it is very much a thing. So I can see why on TV she would maybe want to be like, yeah, I'll have kids later. But like, to me.
Yeah, she's like, in my 30s, late 30s, somewhere in my 30s. Like, did not want to commit to having kids 40s, at any point in her life.
In my 50s, yeah. In my 60s. Maybe she'll choose the Scally plan and adopt a 10-year-old.
There you go. Yeah. Never have to have a baby.
Then we have Kay Carrington and Laurel. They named their child Cynthia Ann.
after their moms, right?
Yeah, it's after, yeah. Well, Cynthia after Laurel's mom and Ann after Carrington's mom's middle name.
I think it was more like, you know, the Cynthia Ann maybe flows better than whatever Carrington's mom's name is. Marrington.
Yeah, it definitely does. I just thought it was really funny the way they said it. Like, oh, and Ann after Carrington's mom's middle name.
I like Laurel being like, oh, I kind of think our baby's not so ugly now. Like, oh, good, Laurel. That's a good revelation.
Why doesn't it have eyebrows? And Carrington's like, babies don't have eyebrows. Not right away. I feel like babies do have eyebrows.
I think a good amount do.
Yeah, I think it just depends. Like, you know, Sam's like a baby having a full head of hair.
Like they might not have like bushy eyebrows, but I feel like all babies would have like some hair in the eyebrow region.
My brother just had a baby. I'm just going to look at a picture. Okay, perfect.
Pull up his baby and let us know if they have eyebrows.
I love doing research on the podcast.
That's what we do.
I don't feel like I particularly look for how much eyebrow hair does this baby have, but, you know, as far as a full head of hair,
He has a full head of hair, my nephew, but no eyebrows. So,
honestly, all I'm ever going to look for now is if a baby has eyebrows. All I'll be looking for.
Also, of course, Carrington, like, if there was ever someone who was going to say, like, I'm not going to change a diaper, I feel like it was Carrington, which is, he did say in this episode.
He also, well, I guess we'll get to it later, but he wasn't the best dad.
He's just learning to take care of himself. Like, yeah, he's true. Softening up himself. True. You think that he's going to be ready for a baby.
Isn't there a line that says, like she'll be a good mom because she, like, taught me a lesson? Like, do you see Laurel as your mom? That's concerning. Like, as a mother figure?
Laurel now has two children in the villa to take care of.
Carrington and Cynthia Ann.
Mother of two. Oh, no. So we have Calvin and Moira, and Carrington's like, oh, what's its name? And Calvin's like, Pepe. And Carrington's like, oh, is it a boy? And Calvin cracked me up. He stands up and goes, he's a man. Don't you ever disrespect my baby again.
This is like the most serious tone because Calvin's always joking around. And for him to just get so dead serious, I laughed so hard. Like when I saw it in the preview and then again when I saw it in the episode, I laughed so hard at that.
Never talk to me or my child again.
He's a man.
We know Calvin will be very protective over his children. You know, that's a good one.
And then I loved how they were deciding between naming the baby Peter or Parker, both after Spider-Man. It turns out Calvin's a big Spider-Man guy.
Or Pepe.
Pepe for short.
Pepe for short.
Fair.
Because Calvin
should go Peppa for Peter Parker.
Well, it's just I assume it's like Peter Parker, Pepe. Like, I could see how you get there. I feel like it's like when you have a pet and you like have their name and then you have like 15 nicknames for them. I feel like that's how you get there.
Yeah, I feel like I named my dog and then never called my dog by her name ever again. I just always use nicknames.
Like Caleb wanting to name their kids Baby and Girl.
Baby and Girl, yeah.
And Justine's like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, the closest Justine and Caleb ever got to fighting was when, like, just, like, in the whole show is when Justine's like, Caleb, you can't just have you have a baby and I have a baby. We need to do this together.
Yeah. He's like, this is mine. That's yours. Good luck.
Yeah, you're on your own.
He's like, we're single parents. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, so then we have Sully and Johnny. Johnny calls Sully mommy. Which is disgusting. And Sally's like, well, I'm never going to call you daddy, which I laughed at. They've named their child Johnny.
Says, I will. In fact, I think she did in Casa Amor. So there you go.
They named their child Johnny the Third, but it was really funny because Sally's like, Johnny Jr. The Third. Johnny the Third, which is really funny. Go.
When I was voting on the app, I think officially the name was Johnny Jr. the Third, I think. So
Johnny Jr. the Third, does that mean how many Johnnies are
actually,
there?
It'd actually be the fourth, I guess.
Is that six Johnnies? Like, is it multiplied?
I don't know.
Like, if there's Johnny Jr. and then Johnny Jr. has a Johnny Jr. and then Johnny Jr. Like, how many Johnny? This is unimportant. We need to move on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So Sally is not the best mother, but Johnny seems to be doing great as a father. This is another episode where Johnny's just trying to give a confessional and someone bursts in because she can't get the baby to stop crying. And he does immediately.
It's a trend for people to like burst in on Johnny's confessionals now. It's definitely become a thing. I really like Johnny also putting his famous purple do-rag on the baby. Like, very cute. It was a like heartwarming moment for Johnny. There's more to him than just Casa Amor.
Are the babies like remote control activated? Because like it seemed too Johnny like takes the like Sally comes into the confessional and then Johnny takes it and immediately stops crying. And there was another scene when all the girls come back from the spa, all the babies start crying at once. I was like, I don't know. It seems too perfect, too planned. They're definitely not hiring someone to like remote control a baby, right? I'm overthinking this.
I mean, I feel like they don't. I feel like PAs work pretty much for free. So
yes,
that's someone's that just like probably task.
They're probably on autopilot most of the time, but they probably also can, you know, like trigger crying, trigger stopping.
I'm picturing that's like a whole like command center for the babies, and it's like, okay, baby one,
needs like to a cry. Hunger Games okay. style.
Yes, exactly, like a Hunger Games style.
Everyone's sitting around this circle, like
they're planning
all right.
out all the twists of what they're gonna do.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I want diaper changes on baby and girl now.
Incredible. Okay, so Caleb and Justine are just like cute parents. Very cute. Caleb calls out Sally for being a bad mom.
Yeah, when she just left. She's not even near her baby. She's just walking upstairs, right?
Yeah, she's like, I'll be right back. Oh, Johnny, you're doing so good. And then just like walks away.
Yeah, like he's like giving Justine a hard time, like, oh, Kiki's being fussy like her mama today. Like, I like they're flirting, you know, in this scene.
They're very cute. And then Johnny says he's going to make sure his child is a ladies' man, which I think just does not give the message he wants to send right now.
It's like, Johnny, we're actively doing harm to what you're trying to do. Like, you are bringing up Casa Amor without bringing up Casa Amor.
Like, literally, Johnny, stop. But thankfully that ends because the girls get a text. They're going on a girls' trip away from the babies, going for a spa day. And while they're at the spa, the boys have a baby obstacle course.
I love the quick cut to Calvin just holding up his baby and going, Simba. Another Calvin moment where I was a huge fan.
There was also right before I think they cut to commercial when all the girls are leaving to go to the spa and the boys all have their baby and he's just like, they're all crying and he just looks up and he goes, it's fine. He was great. He was killing this episode. He's great.
Yeah, this was definitely, I think, his best episode of the season. Especially since I can't believe I'm outnumbered. I have two Calvin stands on the call with me.
Frankly, someone's on my side.
Oh my god, as if you don't get enough of that. Good lord. So the baby obstacle course it's a lot, but Carrington breaks off his baby's leg.
Yeah, it just pops right off and he keeps going. I'm pretty sure he like drops some of the clothes. He does terribly. He tries to defend himself later. He absolutely should not have won this obstacle course.
When he defends it later that he would never have done that with a real baby, I was like, good, fair point.
That's a low bar, though. That's like a low bar to grow. Like, I would never run an obstacle course with a baby. I was like, yeah, most people would also say they wouldn't do that.
Well, okay, the bar is underground and he cleared it, so.
Yeah, he just walked and he was above the bar, yeah.
Yeah, this thing, the producers had to tell them to do this. Like, this happens on every season of the UK, UM. Sure, it happens on Australia. It's like, this would not be the first thing in my mind on as soon as I got a baby, like a robot baby. I wouldn't be like, you know what I have to do?
You know what, Scally, you don't have to be a dick. When the robots take over, they're going to like me better than you.
I don't know. Well, you misclassified something as one of them. So
it was a robot. Oh my god. Whatever. There is like some cute chat of some of the guys, like Caleb and Carrington, talking about how like Justine and Laura would be really good moms. And then while the girls are at the spa, they're talking about how it. They keep saying loins, actually, which was very uncomfortable for me. But
I think it was just Justine.
Yeah,
though.
Justine might said have, loins yeah. at least two times about how seeing a man, the baby, does something to your loins.
She said it earlier. I'm not sure she like got a reaction. You know when you like think you have a great joke and you tell it once and you don't think anybody heard you, so then you use the same line again. The second time she did get a laugh from everybody else. But
that's me on every podcast. Just repeating myself until somebody laughs.
Yeah, I think your audio can. I'm just going to repeat the joke because nobody laughed at my jokes. I'll just repeat. I think were you buffering?
Sorry.
I'll just repeat the joke.
Yeah, you cut out. You missed this moment when I was brilliant. but yeah, I think it's saying loins is gross. Don't say that.
They were talking. Who I don't remember who it was. Someone was saying that their uterus was throbbing.
That was Sally.
That was Sally.
I didn't know they did that.
You didn't know uterus could throb?
Not like that. No.
I mean, I don't think of a uterus throbbing as like a good thing in particular.
Should go see the doctor? I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, your uterus is throbbing. Yeah. So, what is going on?
I feel like it was a thing on the internet like a long time ago where like you saw something that you were attracted to, you'd go like. Ovaries and like an explosion.
Oh, I've heard, I know the meme.
But
I didn't say.
I don't think it was ever uterus.
Throbbing uterus.
I wasn't trying to teach you about the meme, Scally Condon. I know you know about memes.
Ugh, I just am insecure today. I've been making sure I'm on top of all the memes.
Scally thought it was. Thursday and he had missed a whole week of memes, but it's the week is new and fresh.
Was that your first time when you woke up and thought it was Thursday? Oh my gosh, I've missed all the memes.
The memes.
Oh no.
Well,
that would be the worst part about going on all these shows is not knowing the memes when you get out.
Hey, I look like a fool on the internet. You won't know all the jokes.
You just would never catch up.
Like that's the one thing that is a blessing of me not getting into Big Brother Canada 6. Cause can you imagine if I come back into the world in May and I'm like, what's Vanjie? Like my life would be empty. So
Justine gets out and everyone's like, we're not saying it's the blank for me, Justine anymore. It's where that's over.
No, she brought like, it back. I will. I love it. I, you know what? It's the memes for me. they get back and they have like a little bit of time with the babies, but then they get a text saying that the challenge is over and everybody wins except for Carrington and Laurel.
Seems fair.
The leg, the broken leg.
Yeah, just the leg, right? I think. Make sure your baby has both its legs.
Yeah, they were doing a good job until the leg fell off.
Yeah, we were grading on a curve and no one else broke their baby's leg. So ultimately, that seems fine.
And robot babies are expensive to fix, okay?
That is fair.
So then they get like drinks that night, which I mean, they get drinks every night, but I guess it's the extra drinks. What a joy. And Ariel crashes the party. Because it is time for the final dumping of the season.
With 20 minutes left in the episode.
They
ripped cake. We're going to send one of you home, one couple. Who could it be?
I can't believe they made Ariel go into like a full COVID bubble for this. For them to not even use her every week.
That's what I don't get. Why can't she just be there all the time? Like,
she
it's weird.
Just
when they
live
just
in the villa with them.
That'd be great.
See, I feel like they used her more this year than last year, at least. So
last year she wasn't in a bubble.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I think that ultimately I've been content enough. I wish that she got a little more to do when she was there, or you know, give me some lines from Ariel. But I'm still enjoying her presence on the show.
Yeah, she's great. We just want more.
Yeah, she's stunning. And maybe she would be less weird if she got to talk to people more. So the dumping is that the couples will each get a vote and the couple that receives the most votes will go home. And so we see a lot of like discussion and struggle between all of the couples. They wasted way too much of the episode on this.
That's a lot of time.
So at the end, we get their votes, and Connor and Moira vote for Bennett and Lane.
Connor,
Jesus. I am gonna edit that out because that's embarrassing.
No, you're fine. Who cares?
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to do it.
We were just wishing that the CM couple was Connor and McKenzie.
Connor
still
and
McKenzie, here.
I wanted to say it. So Caleb and Moira. Sorry.
Nope, still not Caleb and Moira.
Caleb! Ah! Okay, now I'm
ending
it.
No, you're leaving all of this in. Now
I'm ending it. Did I miss a recoupling? Did I miss some returns to the villa?
I can't remember Calvin's name because I just don't accept that he's a real person. I won't edit it out, but I'm literally having a stroke. I don't know what's wrong with me. I need to go to the doctor with Moira.
Yeah.
Calvin and Moira vote Bennett and Lakin. Bennett and Lakin vote for Carrington and Laurel. Carrington and Laurel vote for Bennett and Lakin. Justine.
No, Johnny and Sally.
Johnny and Sally. Yeah, Johnny and Sally vote for Carrington and Laurel, and Caleb and Justine vote for Bennett and Lakin. So Bennett and Lakin are going home, and I don't know why I had such a hard time with that. I swear I've been watching this show all season.
Hey, I enjoyed it.
I feel like an idiot, but it's just because reading is hard and I don't have my glasses on and my brain is broken.
I mean, this, again, we spent a long time on this to get to a very inevitable result. A reminder that the aforementioned Connor and McKenzie could have been here instead of Bennett and Lakin.
Who would they have voted out? Because every couple that has a C name stayed.
No, that is true. So I guess Carrington and Laurel seem like the likely boot there, but you know, Bennett and Lakin, we saw you going. I'm wondering still if Johnny and Sally voted out Carrington and Laurel because they, you know, because they were really agonizing, and I was surprised that they went with Carrington considering that he's one of their friends from like the OG days. But did Johnny and Sally think Carrington and Laurel are more competition at the end? Did they think that America Hates Carrington will get some bonus points here? I'm looking at that vote with a side eye.
Yeah, big time. Love that Johnny and Sally voted for Carrington Laurel because of Carrington doing pretty much the same thing that Johnny did.
True.
Yikes. Except that Carrington wasn't in an establishment. Whatever. Yeah,
and Carrington owned up to what he did and said he wants to be better.
And before he left, he was like, I don't think we're working. I'm going to go.
I don't know.
Johnny is canceled. Sorry, everybody.
I didn't expect the vote to be so close, but, you know, like we said, inevitable outcome that ultimately came true.
Can you imagine if Carrington and Laurel went home?
The bigger shocker of that would have been Bennett and Lakin in the finals.
I think that they're like, yeah, I mean, I guess Johnny and Sally can assume that Lakin and Bennett are sort of the least likely to get votes in the finale. But also, like, Carrington got voted last by America in, like, the game from last time. So I don't think it's, like, a given that, like, I guess it's just whatever, 50-50. So I guess I am surprised by that one vote. I don't really get it at all, but.
Well, it is what happened. And with that, it brought us to the end of another episode, and voting, by the time this drops, voting will already be closed for the Monday night voting. But the Tuesday night episode of Love Island will be on 8 rather than 9. And for an hour after that episode, you will also be able to vote for a winner. So make sure you vote. And if you don't know who to vote for, Justine and Caleb, come on.
Justine and Caleb for me.
Gotta be sending them in. Send us your screenshots of you voting. I want to see them, you know, especially if they're Justine and Caleb. But ultimately, like, I am excited. It's weird that they're doing the voting in only 2 30-minute increments after the final, like, you know, 2 penultimate shows or whatever.
Yeah, I don't understand why the Monday night voting couldn't just be open all night. And then you get like one vote during Monday, one vote during Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought that was super weird.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, I sort of get it in that, like, they want to make you watch the show live and then you can vote afterwards. But like, not like they like super hyped up that we could vote tonight. So,
yeah, people were asking all day today when the vote would be. And I was like, I think it's going to be tonight, but we have no proof until like very shortly before the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it.
Ugh, what a mess.
It also, sorry, go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead.
No, I just, the press release thing has the worst pun I've ever seen in my life. Just finally, pun intended, the season 2 finale, where you'll find out who the winning couple is. There's on Wednesday. That's your pun, finally? Anyway.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, I feel like having only 2 30-minute windows as the voting time opens this up to like mass chaos in terms of who actually could get voted for. Like, you don't know, like, maybe like the Bennett and Lakin fans might have tuned in mass right after the episode. So that is like, you know, there's one more voting period left. Make sure that you are voting tomorrow for your favorite couple.
Hell yeah. Okay. Do we want to see if we have any questions?
Definitely.
I was about to be like, okay, bye. And I was like, oh, wait, no. I actually posted a thread for once in my life. And we didn't really. Okay. So the first thing is that we've been informed that we should encourage people not to cyberbully Johnny and his family. And I don't think we've, as much as I say I'm ready to cyberbully, I don't think we actually want anybody to cyberbully.
Yeah, no, that's definitely always a thing, whether it's Big Brother, Survivor, The Challenge, and Love Island is the one that we're talking about now. Like, I will have opinions on these people. I will never at these people with my opinions, and especially I will never at these people's families with my opinions. That is not cool. Don't reach out to them. Don't reach out to people they know. If you want to shower them in love, cool. But otherwise, like, you can talk about it on your Twitter. There's no need to, like, ghost. Seek them out to tell them what you think.
It's like what other people think of you is none of your business, and what I think of these people is none of their business.
True.
We also,
if they want to hear it, they'll seek it out, trust me,
and that's on them.
That's when it's on them, but you do not need to be going and finding them. Definitely not.
JR wants more people interrupting Johnny when Johnny talks. And Brayden let us know that they got a new phone over the weekend and still have their old one. And they registered the app on 2 devices and voted for JLib Toys Today and Toys Tomorrow. So I think that's voter fraud, but in this case, I can support it.
No, I encourage it. Everyone should go buy a second phone and vote for Caleb and Justine.
Grace, why do you have a burner phone? Oh, it's just for Love Island voting.
A burner smartphone.
A burner smartphone, yeah.
Yikes. I wonder if it would work if you had, like, an iPod Touch.
I'll have to ask my friend who famously carries around his iPod Touch all the time. I'll see if he can vote tomorrow.
Yeah, make all your friends vote. Tell everybody.
Gotta ask.
It's weird to ask your friends to do something, especially if they don't watch the show. Just if you could do this between 9 and 9:30,
I'll send out a group text. Everyone has a reminder.
Put a reminder in your phone. Put it tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, set an alarm for.
Set an alarm.
Oh God, that's so embarrassing. I'll have to email everybody out my work on the listserv and be like, hey.
Yeah, I'll send a meeting invite tomorrow to all my coworkers for 9 o'clock.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Like, okay, guys, we're all going to get onto a Zoom call at 9 o'clock and we will be voting together.
Here is my slideshow on why Caleb and Justine should win Love Island.
Actually, I'm pulling for Calvin, but, you know, I'm just kidding.
Well, there's been some shakeups with the couples, obviously. So.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, I think that's all we have for today. Grace, thank you so much for joining us. What a joy.
So fun. It's been great pulling along the whole season. We had some great guests. I'm glad I can join.
Yeah, I was really glad that we could get you in. And so, Grace, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so my Twitter is at Hi From Grace. And as mentioned at the top of the episode, I just dropped a new podcast with my friend Hudson. It's called Hold Up. We're looking at LGBTQ media from like 10, 15, 20 years ago to see if it still, holds up. So give us a follow. Give us a listen.
Cannot wait to check it out now that I know where to get it. Very, very excited. And Scally, where can people find you?
Well, people can check me out on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I'll be tweeting, finishing out this Big Brother season, trying to spam for J-Lib votes probably otherwise. But before we close out, I did have one more question in terms of, I feel like I know everyone's first place, but in terms of Kirsten Love's power ranking so much, what would your, power ranking in terms of preferred outcomes be of this final four?
I don't care as long as J-Lib wins.
You gotta pick a second option.
Why do I have to pick a second option?
Because that's the question.
Well, why?
I am curious for Grace's answer also. So
I mean, I think just for Selly, like I think Selly, Selly on her own is greater than Calvin and Moira, I think. So I think I still want Selly to be number two. Although I do feel like on Twitter tonight, like if I was sort of like following along with the Love Island hashtag, it does seem like, I don't know if it was just Calvin's, like, him being a dad tonight was what kind of was pushing people, but there was like a bit of push for them to sort of be the number two. So I think that will be interesting to see if Johnny and Selly actually fall that far from like pretty much before Casa Amor being like the almost probably number one, but they might fall to number three. I think there's a chance. I think
I would like to see that.
Yeah, the thing is, I agree. I think my second preferred option is Selly and Johnny winning, with Selly taking all the money. But not that that's likely to happen.
Happening.
Okay, I know, but I asked for preferred options, not realistic ones. So I have seen the big Calvin and Moira push. I'm a little worried, though. On Love Island, we need ranked choice voting. It's an important thing that we have always been asking for. But since we don't have that, I am a little nervous. You only get one vote per voting period. So be careful throwing them away on a second place vote when they get no money for coming in second place. So would definitely prefer the Justine and Caleb. Then I'm going, I guess, Johnny and Selly, and then Calvin and Moira, Carrington and Laurel being last. But ultimately, I do really like all of the couples that we have left, or at least half of all of them are, pretty solid for me.
Yeah, Scally, was that like, that's like, who does do like your head, heart, and your gut? Your head is saying that that J-Lib should win, but your heart or your heart wants Selly to win and take all the money.
No. if we're going for preferred options, not possible ones, then I want them to take the Big Brother prize money, add it to the Love Island prize money, and give Caleb, Justine, and Selly each $200,000. I also just love how Scally's out here caping for electoral reform in Love Island.
I don't know what you're talking about.
ranked preference voting is an option that has been presented as a possible choice.
Yeah, no, I do understand what you're talking about.
But, the problem in Canada is that every time someone comes in power, they're like, well, now we're not going to change the voting system because we just won. So it's never, our electoral system is never going to change.
I think that's anyway. Every electoral system. And
true.
On that note, Scally, did you tell them where they could find you or no?
I did.
Oh, again, yeah, because you were like, they can check me out. And I was going to make a joke about you asking people to check you out.
Check me out, like... Grace and Kirsten were on Calvin's Instagram, on Twitter, at Brian_Scally.
And then if people are looking to hear or see more from me, you can follow me on every platform, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, TikTok, at Kirsten Said What. And you will hear from me this upcoming Thursday on the Triple Eviction episode of Big Brother. Scally, what's our iTunes situation?
Ooh, where are we sitting at? First of all, I do love the TikTok plug. Got to get it in there.
It's funny too, because I'm very bad at TikTok. I don't really post, but I still want followers for the dopamine you gotta rush. Get
We are sitting currently at 125 ratings. Again, already crushed the goal. If we can get to 150, that would blow me away. But we will see. Obviously, five-star ratings help us a ton. Would greatly appreciate them. And Kirsten, you got that link?
Hell yeah. It's robhasawebsite.com/loveislandpod. Please give us five-star reviews. We're sad. Seasonal depression is coming. We need five-star reviews to make it better.
Check us out on the iTunes store.
Yeah, check us out. And then thank you to Will from America for our amazing theme song. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for everything behind the scenes getting this podcast up and running. And thank you to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast who make all this podcasting possible. If you are curious about everything going on in the patron land, you can find out at robhaswebsite.com/patron, and you can now purchase an annual patron membership where you will get 12 months for the price of 11. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we will see you next time.
For the finale!
Bye!
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.